Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with John D'Souza. John's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. John, for the benefit of new listeners, how did a former FBI agent get involved in the paranormal and the unusual?
Wow, that's easy. I was always involved with the paranormal and the unusual even before I became an investigator. As a matter of fact, I think that's what awakened in me, the need to become a professional investigator in some capacity. Because I had experiences. I had contact experiences when I was a child, and even after that, I had other experiences with the paranormal that I always talk about in my books with people. And when I finally came to the FBI, I was introduced to this case called the Miami Shootout, where we had a couple of bank robbers. Well, they seemed like bank robbers, but they were caught in a parking lot, and they were shot to pieces. And unfortunately, they were able to somehow just get up and start shooting everybody in the parking lot, FBI agents and police. And they were able to get into their car and just drive away. And they tried to start right away. And then we had a hero FBI agent get up at the last second and shoot them both through their spinal cords in their neck.
Oh, geez.
And he finally killed them. But there was a huge outcry after that. People wanted to know, how were they able to do everything they did after they got shot to pieces? And the popular theory from the scientists at the FBI was they told everyone, well, they were loaded up on angel dust. I guess that was the popular thing. Their names were Maddox and Platt. Anyway, when I finally came, so that remained. When their blood test came back, they had nothing in their system except a little bit of nicotine. They had just smoked a couple of cigarettes. That's it. So that mystery remained for a long time. When I got to the FBI Academy to become an FBI agent, I actually was pursuing a couple of sheriff's deputies who worked the case, and I tried to find out from them how it is that Maddox and Platt did what they did. They were able to be shot fatally, basically, through both of them, through their bodies. And still they were able to get up and basically start executing FBI agents and shooting at police throughout that parking lot and then get in their car and get away, and try to get away. And they told me that they were assigned to their apartments, and the only thing they found in their apartments were these little altars to the Norse gods. And they had just been lit on fire or whatever. They had just been activated before they went out to rob these banks. And so I told them, that's it. That's how they did it. They somehow activated this, some kind of Norse berserker energy from this altar that they had. And they apparently worshipped. And they were able to get that power, and that's what helped them to get their what they needed. Anyway, the bosses there at the FBI Academy were not happy. They thought I was a New York Times reporter or something. They told me I would never
make it. Yeah,
that I would never make it. Yeah, and they were very upset with me. They did a few things to try to stop me from becoming an FBI agent, but when I finally did, anyway, because I could predict everything they were going to do, I was able to graduate, and they were very upset when they had to give me my credentials. But when I got to my first office, they told my bosses there, you know, this guy happens to like paranormal cases, so give him everything you've got. Load him down with that stuff wherever you can find it, and that will be a good thing. And that's how I started getting this subject matter and becoming a subject matter expert in this area.
When they started giving you the files, John, were you baffled by it, surprised by it, or what?
I was shocked because they gave me the files that included many things that were revealing many extraordinary secrets, things that had gone on. Well, they weren't secrets, really. They weren't supposed to be, but they really were, like the smoking gun that's been declassified. From FBI files, the report that is on that is at FBI, vault.fbi.gov, the report that's under UFOs in the subject matter area, where you do a little search for the declassified files, and you just go to UFO group of documents, the very first one, and you go to page 22, and you can find a report that was from an FBI agent where he said that he had an informant that was an alien. Well, he intimated that it was an alien visitor, his informant, that told him a bunch of things about alien visitors in the year 1947.
Roswell year, huh?
The same Roswell year, exactly. And it was at the same time, and he said his informant told him that, number one, aliens are not physical, that they are from other dimensions. They are from other dimensions. They were called, in the communication, they were called Lokas. It's the old Vedic language, I guess. And they started saying, and he also said that UFOs are empty. There's nobody in the UFOs, the genuine ones. That they're sort of, and he described remote control, because that was the best he could do to describe it. But I think he was describing that the UFOs were alive in some way, that they were conscious in some way. And then he said that they're here for peaceful means, and that we should not ever, ever engage them militarily. Because if we did, there would be terrible price to pay. So, you know, I got control files like this. Control files are basically investigative files that are not considered active, but are supposed to be, but must be monitored and watched carefully to see if anybody in the world gets more information on them. So that was one of my most shocking things that were assigned to me. That I found out at that time. But that is how I came into being involved with paranormal cases at the FBI, and it was something that I'm really grateful for, because it prepared me
for
a lot of this deception that's going on right now.
John, you know, we had the congressional hearings a few months ago. Not much amounted from that. NASA is planning a UFO investigation. What's your take on these agencies apparently trying to show that they're concerned about this?
I think it is. This is part of a giant, giant psychological operation that is going forward to popularize these tic-tacs, and these, what they're now calling UAPs. As soon as you hear that language, it should perk your ears up. Because this UAP stuff it started pretty recently when the New York Times, of all people, decided to tell everyone about this, that the government had been involved since 2004. When they had this operation, the ATIP operation, and I don't really believe that organization existed. I don't believe that it did. And if it did exist, it was a special weapons program, a program to cover up special weapons that were being developed, if it existed at all. But so we've had this, you know, since 2020, we've had the Department of Defense officially releasing videos that show these tic-tacs. They call them UAPs. You know, then we had the hearings for the National Director of Intelligence, Secretary of Defense. He was supposed to give information. And this happened way back in June of last year. And they were supposed to give information on this stuff. And it basically came to nothing for the most part. Came to basically nothing. But here's what people don't know. Even though these previous things came to very little or nothing, right now, there are congressional subcommittees and Senate-related subcommittees that are getting briefed on UAPs, on Tic Tacs. As a matter of fact, the House Intelligence Permanent Committee on Intelligence, chaired by a very popular congressman, is holding open hearings on unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs. And these subcommittees are going on all over the place. There's a lot of congressmen and senators that are trying to get in on this deal. It's something very popular. And this whole psychological operation has had celebrities attached to it, politicians, and many, many others, and even UFO researchers, of course. So this has been going on. This has been happening everywhere. I don't know if I can, and I can tell you from my sources that all of these subcommittees are having classified briefings, closed-door classified briefings. And you know what they're doing, George? They're showing them all near misses, what we call in aviation, what you call in aviation near misses, by the UAPs, by the Tic Tacs, which, by the way, come in all shapes and sizes. Some of them are cylinders, cigar-shaped. Some of them are orbs. I mean, well, they're circle orbs shaped. Some of them are Tic Tac shaped, yeah, like that oval kind of shape.
That's right.
So they come in all different sizes and shapes. But the classified hearings that they've been having behind closed doors have just been basically showing the congressmen and the senators all this long list of near misses, which is supposed to, according to the rules of our national security, are supposed to be considered highly aggressive action against our...
Yeah, hostile action, right?
Exactly, exactly. But they're not really doing anything about it. They're not recognizing it as such. They're just sitting in these subcommittee closed hearings, and they're thinking no one's going to learn what they're doing in there. They're looking at all these near misses. Near misses are very, very serious. I mean, we just had, and this was kind of public. We had an airliner that was just taxiing in, and the pilot happened to be on an open channel. Somehow, I'm not sure how this works, but he was on an open channel, the pilot, and he said he saw a cylinder that passed right over his window of his airliner. He said, "I saw it clear as day, and it was a cylinder-shaped Tic Tac. The only thing I see common with all these vehicles is that they have that silver-whitish metal. They look just like the Go-Fast and the vehicles that, you know, go back to like Operation High Jump when the Germans supposedly had the Go-Fast vehicles working for them, and they destroyed Admiral Byrd's entire armada, his entire battle group that he had traveling to Antarctica, and I think that was High Jump. And so these things have been fairly consistent, and they've been fairly well known. And here's something else that just happened about a week ago, is that, and I don't know if I can mention another show on here, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there's an excellent channel called Third Phase of Moon on YouTube. They have about 1 million subscribers. They're one of the most popular UFO channels, and they were able to score an interview, a 2-hour interview, with Congressman Tim Burchett
out of Tennessee, right?
I think he's Indiana.
No, I'm pretty sure he's Tennessee.
Yes, you're absolutely right, because he was mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and then he became the U.S. representative for Tennessee's 2nd Congressional District. You are correct, George. And anyway, he's a wonderful person. I mean, he's just, I don't even know what party he is, because he's very even-handed. He's just a very stable, just one of the most well-liked people. And if you listen to him, you'll see why. But anyway, he's trying to get involved with one of these subcommittees right now. Well, he is involved with one of these subcommittees right now. And he was talking about it. And they did this, the Third Phase of Moon did this great interview of him. It should be in headlines of every newspaper across the country if that was an honest process. But it's not. So what he did was he started the interview by saying he doesn't really know what these UAPs are and what they are, what they're not, and so forth. But as time went on in this interview, and I recommend anybody see it for themselves, it's amazing. It just happened like about a week ago. And what he ended up saying was basically everything about the UAPs, about these Tic Tacs and these UAPs. He went through the list of nations, first of all, and he said, well, look, right off the bat, in terms of national security, just for the sake of national security, I can tell you that these vehicles, these UAPs, are definitely not from Russia. They're not from Russia.
Right.
Because if Putin
or China.
Exactly. Oh, so you listened to this interview?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it was phenomenal. He said, so he went through that, and then he said, even the United States, this does not belong to the United States. But the reason he gave was different. He said, because, and he kind of gave things away when he said this, but he said, well, because these UAPs have been doing dangerous actions against our people, our civilian aviation, and our military pilots. And the United States would never use these UAPs to do actions that would endanger, like the near misses that I'm talking about. So, and those are my words, not his. But what's amazing about that is that he said all these things, but then towards the end of the interview, he actually said that he does believe that all of our Skunk Works aviation companies, the McDonnell Douglas, all the different ones that have worked with this kind of technology, that they could actually be the ones creating the reverse technology that is being used for these vehicles. So he really doesn't feel the United States government is creating them, but he does feel like these global companies that work these areas, that they are most likely involved in putting together these UAPs, which he believes are man-made.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.